SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back to the fairgrounds. Hour two on this Monday recap after a terrific weekend, and particularly the Risen Star, everything else that went with it, the performance by Amos's filly, and Synchrony, and Silver Dust. We're going to talk to Brett Calhoun, and as we mentioned, the Calhoun operation really hitting on all cylinders, because not only was there the stake win, there's also the 3,000 win, number 3,000 that came a week ago, and everybody had said that we're going into the weekend, we were previewing that Calhoun is heating up, and between the performance that he got from Silver Dust and then before that, about an hour earlier, by my standards, the Golden Sense, very nice colt going a mile and a 16th. And, there's been some others that we'll certainly, we'll talk to Brett. And I, if he can get us now, I see what, okay, see what he says, because I shot him a note, and I knew he had to leave the track. By the way, weather it looked blustery, and now we just got a spraying of rain. And I don't know if this is going to continue. Let's give a quick look. And while we while we look for Brett, Mark Cassie is going to join us too. And in case that's your backup plan to swap out. If Brett is unavailable right now. And the other weekend news, Friday, if you didn't see it, didn't see the results, the Stronach 5 ended up in a carryover. It took, when we talked to Johnny, we'll probably touch on it, and the $169,000 carryover in the Pick 5, that you would think would bring in another 169, I figure four times, so 170, 30, another, it could bring another $500,000 on Friday. And they'll put that sequence together for tomorrow. There'll be, I'm sure, a press release on the Gulfstream, Laurel, Santa Anita, and Golden Gate races. And by the way, speaking of Golden Gate, we have to get to Blaine Wright, because this may be one of those years where the El Camino Real Derby is going to have some impact. Just as Hammer had suggested, this Scat Daddy 3-year-old, another twist of fate, that was impressive. Brett Calhoun's winner was impressive as well when it came to the mineshaft. It was particularly fun to have Jack Gilligan to be on hand for, got to know Jack a little bit and in Louisville in recent, this past year. And for him to win his first graded stake, trainers and connections, they love those circumstances, and it's a special circumstance indeed. Brett Calhoun joins us after a lot of milestones and things that has had his name in the racing media. The 3,000th win, and then Saturday the mineshaft and a nice maiden performance by my standards. Brett, congratulations on 3K and everything else that's going on.
Good morning. Thanks a lot.
Brett, we'll circle back to the 3,000 in a minute, but let's talk about Silver Dust, who is a very quirky horse. I mean, here's a 5-year-old Tappet, and they're supposed to mature out of some of their flightiness. And Jack Gilligan, terrific job, keeping him focused. Talk a little bit about the win in the mineshaft.
Well, he's always shown to be a very talented horse. Been frustrating over the last year and a half or so, because he showed so much potential in the morning and really hasn't showed up in the afternoon with quite as much potential as we've seen in the mornings. You know, it's been one of those things that, you know, you kept believing in him, try to be patient with him, but, you know, it was also disappointing a lot of times. He had some antics in the paddock and antics in the gates, and then just kind of didn't do things in the race like he's shown us in the morning. So it's been a work in progress for sure. He's gotten some consistency to in the last four or five races, and I can't say I'm ever going to be convinced or trust him every time, but he's starting to make me buy in a little bit.
You mentioned the gate issue, and he was a little, you know, a little difficult in the gate, and once the latch opened, Jack set up shop, and boy, when he cruised up to the leaders going into the turn, I said, oh boy, and we talked about him on the preview Friday, and that he was the right price in there, and you could just see that there was a ton of horse. You had to know, or at least had to think, you know, this is a breakthrough circumstance.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, I never count on it until he hits the wire in front, but he looked like Saturday was his day, you know, and he had the momentum, and he carried it on. Look, he kind of veered out a little bit down the lane, and then he kind of pointed him back in. He really rebroke a little bit. So mentally, he's a little in and out of it. Jack does get along well with him. It's kind of a running joke with Jack and I. After Jack worked this horse at Kingman one morning for me, he called me on the phone and told me how good he worked and how well he got along with him. And I started kidding Jack. I said, Jack, everybody gets along with him in the morning. You know, it's the afternoon that's the problem.
Well, down the stretch, when he kind of jumped to half path, what's going on with him there? Is he losing focus, or is he one of these horses that you know, doesn't want to be in alone in front?
I think that's part of it. You know, Robbie rode him last time, and Robbie knows him pretty well too. And you really hate to make the lead too soon with him, give him a little bit of a target. I think he'll carry him down the lane. And you know what? Maybe last time waiting, maybe cost us. I don't know in hindsight. I thought Robbie rode him the right way last time. But this time, you know, Jack opted to go on with the momentum, and it worked out well. But he definitely gets lost out there by himself.
You know, it's quite notable that, you know, Randy Morse had him originally, and you've been very patient. There was, you know, obvious expectation when we go back to 2017 when he participated in a lot of high level, you know, 3-year-old races. This horse has missed a check one time in his whole career, and you know, I don't know. He's been gelded, so that was already held. That was already done. I mean, this is a horse. You get the sense, Brett, that if he had the mind and the focus, God knows what kind of record he might have at this point.
Yeah, I can definitely see why they had him on the Derby Trail at that time. I see exactly what they were thinking and seeing, and I'm sure they were extremely frustrated because he. Shown to be that kind of horse all along. He just never could break through. You know, and he's a horse that you think one minute you got it all figured out, and then he just does something different. I traded this horse a couple of months before Saratoga meeting. When I went into the first race at Saratoga, I honestly didn't think he could lose. He was perfect in the paddock, perfect in the gates, and I think tactically Jock made a little bit of an error being a little too aggressive in sending him. But at that time I thought, you know what, we got it. That worked, the castration worked. Then we come to the paddock the next time at Saratoga. He's the favorite. He's acting bad in the paddock and goes and flips in the gate and gets scratched. So you're back to square one again. It's just been a constant work in progress. I see what everybody else has seen all along. I made some comments to a fellow trainer early last winter. I said, I think this horse will be one of the top older horses in the division. Of course, here we are over a year later before we kind of got to where we thought we could be.
Amazing. Amazing. And I remember that the first Saratoga race, because actually that was a coming out party for that nice horse of Ron Paolucci, that Uno Mas Modelo, who's turned out to be a real horse.
Right.
And that came at the beginning of the meet. Of course, the meet this year is starting in April. No, I'm just kidding. That's what people are ready to believe, that we're going to go from Aqueduct right to Saratoga. It's unbelievable. Well, so now, yeah, I mean, obviously, just had Amos, and you know, the next stop is the New Orleans handicap. I don't see, you know, what prevents you from being, you know, just as much a major player here.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't point in that direction either. The timing's good. Our home track, we don't have to travel. Obviously, the water will probably get a little deeper. We got a lot of big races this time of year that are spread out around the country between Oakland, Santa Anita, Dubai World Cup. So they're going to get spread out a little bit. So hopefully he'll fit right back in this spot in 5 weeks.
The two connection follow-ups and part of it, Brett, the first graded stake win for Jack Gilligan, and actually I didn't check it to see how often you ride Jack plenty, actually.
Yeah, Jack rides a lot for me. He's a great kid. He's a good rider. He works very hard, and we try to put him on quite a few horses, and I couldn't have been more happy. It was just first grade stakes for me.
Well, and, you know, it's hard to believe this, considering how much success that Mr. Durant has had, but that's his first graded stake win in 11 years.
Yeah, and believe me, I was really glad to get it for him, and I think he was extremely happy to have it, because I think he definitely realized he's been a little bit of a dry streak, and Tom likes to play at the upper level. He likes to run the good horses when they don't look like they're going to be top horses. He just as soon move on and try to get him a good one.
Well, and he's not afraid to spend money. I mean, historically, that, you know, he's put plenty of money in. This was not a cheap horse by any means either. An expensive 2-year-old came out of the Demerick factory, and feels like, you know, this might be the, you know, the moment we look back on as he, you know, makes his way in the handicap division, and certainly a welcome addition. Let's fold in everything else that's been going on as well. Brett Calhoun with us, and Brett, the maiden win, pretty much going into the weekend, when you looked at that, you know, that group in the seventh, by my standards, you know, really the only thing that seemed to be an obstacle would have been potentially the, you know, the post coming from the 12 hole, but he did exactly you know, what he needed to do, and it looks like there's upside for him yet.
Yes, you know, obviously the 12th post I wasn't really fired about, but I you know, we liked this horse all along. I tell you, the only thing that was discouraging to me was the fact that he got beat last time. I didn't really think he could get or would get beat last time, and he had a perfect trip last time, and so, like, he took over and just didn't finish it off. I don't know if it was just an inexperienced green thing or what. So it made me you know, question him a little bit. And I was sure happy to see him break through Saturday.
You know, moderate fig. How, you know, how quickly do you test the level of what this Golden Sense might be? How quickly do you put him against stake horses?
Well, this time of year, sometimes we don't have the options that we'd like, the timing, and what I'm talking about is the AO, then, because everybody's jumping in the stakes races. So our hand might get forced a little bit. We really haven't discussed it too much. I know the last condition book at the fairground is out, and that race is back a little bit quick for him, the allowance race is. So I'm not quite sure where we're going to go with him yet. We want to give him every opportunity to be a good horse. We've liked him all along. Like I said, I was disappointed in his last race, and he bounced back Saturday, moved forward. I think he beat a legitimate group of horses, and he drew away from him late like he was supposed to. So we're still pretty excited about him and not quite sure where we're going to go with him.
Well, and this was a fancy group. I mean, there's no question. You had that wedding toast sibling, Golden Tiger, in here. You had Parade Field, a horse that we've talked about with Neil Howard, Mandy Pope. We just talked with Amos about Tappet Wise. And Mark Cassie, who's next with us, had Mrs. Weber's Awesome Walk and Roll. I mean, there was lots of, who happens to be a half to good essence hitman, who people might recall. This was, you know, this looked like a good group, and feels like it. There's more to come from by my standards. And really, he's done nothing but find tough fields. He ran into Jersey Agenda in his debut. Then he ran into Gunnit. It's unbelievable. He's really kept good company. So there's that recommending him as well.
Well, I hope so. I hope there's some legitimate horses that we've been facing. I think it has been. I agree with you. There's some pretty good fields. And it was encouraging that he won like he did Saturday. I hope that's his coming out party. Hopefully, you know how it is. These horses win. They gain a lot of confidence. And you hope he moves forward. And it's a similar deal with Silver Dust. Those horses like that, you know, they keep winning. A lot of times they keep moving forward. So we're hoping and keeping our fingers crossed that's what happens.
Let's also get a Risen Star review in as well, because Mr. Money was a horse that was getting plenty of compliments coming into this, Brett, because of the circumstance that saw him miss the LeCompte and a little bit of time. But boy, when he came into the paddock, I raised my eyebrows. There's plenty to like about him, and this should be a very useful start. Finished mid-pack, and I get the sense that, you know, while it's a little disappointing, having already missed one opportunity in the LeCompte, you probably still feel like there's, you know, things to look forward to with Mr. Money.
Yes, we do. Obviously, a little disappointing with the outcome. There was a star. I guess the most disappointing thing to me was we had a thought we had a great plan for the winter. It seemed like it was working out perfect. Horse was fresh and briefly down here. He really blossomed. Looked like everything went perfect until the day before the LeCompte and an unfortunate illness. I guess lucky for us, it didn't last long, but it lasted long enough that I think it had a bearing on the Arisen Star. So it wasn't ideal. I think he's got that behind him. I think we end up needing the race, and I think we can bounce out of it and move forward like we need to. I you know, just circumstances were unfortunate. We got a little bit later start than we wanted. I thought we had a great game plan, and it just didn't work out.
A couple of questions, and then we'll look ahead with him. But a couple of things jump off at me. You know, this is also Allied Racing, and I think at some point I've asked you. I know I asked you about him, but remind us about the Allied people.
Chester Thomas, Allied Racing. Him and his wife Jennifer are great people. They're from Kentucky. Chester has invested heavily in the game recently. He's a guy that owned Coal Mines and it did very well when he sold out, and he loves the racing game. He jumped in with both feet. He's racing quite a few. He's breeding quite a few, and he really enjoys the sport. And just been a great owner, and he's supplied me with some nice horses.
Also notable that both you know, by my standards and Mr. Money, somebody like Golden Sense at the sale. What who's helping with the bloodstock side?
Well, it's interesting. Josh Stevens is responsible for purchasing those horses, and he's done a great job buying horses for Chester. And I don't think you know, we haven't specifically talked about it, but I don't think he went there specifically looking to buy Golden Sense. I think those horses just fell on his list, and he ended up buying two of them, and they worked out well for us. I think since that time, Chester has bought a breeding right in a stallion.
How about that? And there's been plenty of support for him, and it does feel like you know, there's Yeah, there's plenty to look forward to from Golden Sense. Going from here, Louisiana Derby, right? I mean, you stay the course with Mr. Money?
I think so. You know, I haven't seen any reason not to stay the course and continue on that direction. There again, it'll be deeper waters. He'll have to step forward, but I think he's going to take a big step forward off of that. He seems to like it here. He's trained very well, and it keeps from having to ship him. I'm not saying if a better opportunity doesn't come along somewhere, it might be a little softer, then, you know, maybe we consider that. But we've got two horses that we're going to be trying to find the right spot for, same ownership. So I'm not exactly sure, but I would have to point Mr. Money towards the Louisiana Derby.
Well, and of course, I'm looking at what Ally did on the day, because there were four starters. There was also the Louisiana bred that Buff Bradley's training, and Josh has a long relationship going back to Divisadero with Buff, and then the other mm-hmm. maiden. It's always hard. I could tell you, having not that we've got a tiny little group, but I could tell you whenever we've run two horses, whenever you win earlier in the day, if it's not the big race, you cringe a little bit, because once you win on the day, you think, oh, how are we going to win two today? So if you feel good that you won the maiden race, but you think, can we win two today? And when you run Mr. Money, you're kind of on eggshells.
Well, you're right. It's two ways to look at it. There's relief that you've gotten one. You've won one, the thoughts of maybe not being confident winning two do
yeah.
cross your mind.
Well, and that gets us to one of the great things that seems to happen in sports when it comes to milestones. Home run number, the 500th home run, or 2,000th hit. When it comes to 3,000 wins as a trainer, and why do so many jockeys and trainers and anybody, why is it so tough to get that milestone win, Brett?
Well, this business is so up and down like everything else. So many things have to go right just to win a race. I think some people that maybe aren't as in the game as close as we are don't understand how hard it is to win. So many things can go wrong, and one thing go right to win, and you look at it historically. I think that's what hit me and struck me the most is, you talk about numbers. You can throw out 1,000, 2,000. They're all significant numbers, but when you talk about 3,000 and only 29 other people have been able to accomplish that's kind of what hit home for me and made me pretty proud.
Yeah, you should be, and we were all kind of laughing a little bit. Frank McGoey was with us, and Marcus Hirsch, Chad Schexnader, and James Scully, and we were all talking about the cards, and when your name came up, we both kind of marveled that somebody that is has an operation as successful for as long as yours, and yet for whatever reason you're still somewhat of an unknown outside of I guess the middle American racing scene. I don't know why it is. I mean, that's with Breeders' Cup wins and so forth. And maybe you're I won't say shy, but you don't seek out publicity. And but it's amazing. I mean, as good a horseman as there is in the game, and it's always one of my favorite calls. The opportunity to talk to you and congratulate you on anything.
Well, I appreciate it. We'll keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully people will continue to give us a chance with some better horses, and hopefully we'll get good things done, get good results, and continue to move forward.
Well, and you get it done with all kinds of horses. That's what's also interesting. You know, we think about the great Chamberlain Bridge, turf sprinting, and then the long male, female, you know, turf, dirt, it doesn't matter. And, you know, your operation is positioned to take advantage of regional breeding programs. And it's because you look perpetually young. That I think, you know, people still think you're like 35, or that's
I've definitely aged over the last 10 years, for sure. It'll eventually get you.
I love it. Brett Calhoun, always just a pleasure, and plenty of things to look forward to, whether it's Silver Dust on the handicap side and the three-year-olds like Mr. Money and by my standards and much, much more. Brett, thanks so much, as always, and we'll look forward to seeing you. At this point, probably Churchill when we get there in April.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Brett Calhoun, everybody, and just so easy to root for and to talk to about all the good things that go on. And, you know, you give a guy like Jack Gilligan his first graded stake win, that stays with trainer jockeys forever. You know, years later, you'll talk to jocks about something, and you know, they remember those kinds of milestones. Trainers remember the jocks that got them their first win, their first stake win, whatever it might be. It's one of the, you know, one of the special bonds that that develop. And I got Jack Gilligan's number on Saturday too, because I do want to get Jack on sometime real soon. He's really yet another of these young gun riders that have burst on the scene. I mean, you think back to a few years ago. Remember, we were at that juncture where we were all concerned. Where are the good jocks? Where are they going to come from? And you know, all of a sudden, we've got this next generation that that they're coming from France and UK and South America, Central America, doesn't matter, and America as well, when it comes to, you know, the DVDs, the Trade and Van Dyke, and more. It's always nice for a fresh face and a breakthrough type of moment, and the smile on Gilligan's face after coming back with Silver Dust, and the smile on those of us who bet Silver Dust. That was pretty good, too. We'll remember it. Let's take a break. We're 90 in. The morning is flying by, and we kind of expected that. Got to get Mark Cassie in here, and plenty more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, got my suitcase in my hand. Now ain't that a shame? I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans.
We're back at the fairgrounds. Used to be my honey till you took all my money. Mark Cassie standing by, and Mark Cassie, when the draw came out for the Risen Star, and of course they draw, you know, they draw like 3 weeks early for for these cards, and I checked with Mark Cassie. You gonna stick with that 14 hole? That's the plan, and he was absolutely unperturbed by the draw, and you got the sense when you saw War of Will in the paddock, you understood why. Mark, congratulations.
Thank you. Isn't he a beautiful horse?
Beautiful horse.
I had fun as just kind of standing back and watching as people looked at him as he went by. I got a kick out of that.
Let me tell you, there were mouths agape, jaws were dropped. He not only did he look, you know, just glistening and burnished, but he had that neck bowed, and not in a wild-eyed way. He looked like a coiled spring, as they say, and I think, you know, anybody that's, for whatever reason, the fig and this and that, anybody that's discounting this horse going forward is making a big mistake.
It's funny, my wife said, she said, when I saw him in the paddock, he gave me chills.
Yeah. Well, so, well, you don't...
I think that described it well.
Exactly, and you don't often see other connections. You know, they're focused on their horse. There were at least two or three other just in the proximity before the race saying, did you see this? Did you see the favorite? Look at the favorite. That says a lot.
You know what? The nice thing about him, Stephen, I've said this before. I saw it with Wonder Godot. I saw it with Teppan. I saw it with Lexi Liu. They actually thrive with running. A lot of horses, as they run, will wilt up and kind of fall apart. To me, this horse, I thought he looked good for the LeCompte. I thought he looked tremendous for the Risen Star. So he seems to be thriving. You know, the more we do with him, the better he gets. And I think that's really important.
Let's talk about how you and Tyler Gaffalione discussed the draw and what you expected and what you thought you could live with to be successful, the way the race was going to unfold.
Yeah, the nice thing about WOW, and you seldom get this feeling, and that is, you know, I've been fortunate to have a lot of good horses. And most of the time you go into a race and you say, look, I need things to go right. We need things to go our way. We need to get lucky to win. He brings a different confidence to me. I feel like, okay, well, things can go wrong and he still can win. And that's why I wasn't concerned about the draw. As far as instructions, I don't give very many instructions. I try to have riders. I try to get the guys that I think are the best out there. And I don't usually give many instructions. But we just knew that we were going to, you know, fish the gas pedal a little bit so we didn't get hung out really wide and you know, go from there. If he had drawn an inside post, the only regret I have is I still want to see him sit behind some horses and which I know he can do, but it would have been nice just from a learning point to do that.
In this case, the way things unfolded, it was the horse to the outside, Gunnet, the Asmussen that drew in.
I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
I guess obviously Steve had, you know, had an idea and a plan, but that horse, I will say this, that horse is pretty fast because there are not many horses that are going to clear WOW when you ask him to go, and that horse did, you know, so he's fast. I have to be honest, I was a little surprised by it.
On the positive side of it, though, Tyler Gaffalione and you know, and the horse were not affected per se. I mean, it didn't prompt him at all. You basically kept to task.
No, you know, I mean, I was standing with David Carroll, and as soon as we started down the backside, we said, "Well, that's perfect." And I was happy to see him have a target to run at, actually.
Exactly. One of the things, though, that became evident when he took over, this is not a horse you're going to have to worry about when they strike the front, that he's going to wait on horses.
Yeah. You know what happened? What happened, and I only knew of talking to Tyler after it, there is a spot maybe about the 3/16th pole that the lights don't hit very well, so it's almost black at that area. And he said when he got to that spot, he said he kind of got off the bit for a second, and he said, I got after him, and then he responded. And then, you know, at about the eighth pole, I thought Bill's horse was maybe, you know, starting to get to us some. But then again, if you watch afterwards, he took off. I said to Tyler right after the race, I said, did they ever get to you going on out? And he goes, nobody's ever going to get to me. Anyway, so he went on out. So I felt good about that. And like I said, it'd be nice, especially thinking about the Derby, because there's always going to be somebody bigger and faster than you. You know, I feel very confident that he can sit behind a few horses. In the Derby and those races, you don't want to get too far back because it just gets you in trouble.
Exactly. Exactly. This is you know, part of the appeal of what's going on with him. You know, because this is now seven starts. So, you know, a penultimate start before the Classics, he'll be as experienced as almost probably as anybody going in.
And, you know, I love that. And it's interesting, I was having a conversation with Gary last night, and I said, there's been so much written about Justify and him doing what he did, and so that changes a lot of opinions, but that was, what, 150 years or something? So
yes.
I'll stick with our plan. I'm quite happy where we're at. I think for the most part, you know, everybody's playing catch up right now.
Nobody's going to argue that. And this was just as impressive as you could have hoped. As one of the other parts, and Tom Amos was with us, and Brett Calhoun as well, before you joined us, Mark. And Amos particularly just effusive in his praise of the winner. And one of the things I pointed out before and then with Tom, when you see a chart for the people who aren't sure, you know, what to make, and, you know, there's been something, 92 buyer isn't exactly, you know, a big fig. And when you see a chart that has a winner that was on the pace, and then you see horses that were 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th behind him, and anybody else.
That tells you something. I'm glad you pointed out, Steve, because that is probably the best factor of all. Anybody that was anywhere close early on the race finished nowhere, and the only one that kept running was him. So yes, that I think too many people, that goes unnoticed, and not, you know, I don't think you could be more spot on with that analysis.
Yeah. That's one of those things that and Amos said he doesn't care what the splits were, that it was a real pace, and this was,
you know, a lot of people don't realize too, and you would because you were there, but so many factors. You know, we start out running at, say, what, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was hot and humid. It was very hot and humid, right?
Yep.
Then middle of the day we started getting some breeze, and then at dark it had gotten cooler with a little bit of breeze and everything, so we had a lot of factors go through the day, and so the track changed. And look, the proof to me that told you, now I have the utmost respect for Tom's filly, because what she did was amazing in the Rachel Alexander. But Flame Away, we brought Flame Away into the mine shaft. He was pretty fit. We had him where we wanted him. He walked the dog on the lead. He went the half and 50 or something. And
yep.
He wasn't able to carry that. I mean, he ran well. He finished third, but a horse like Flame Away, you let him, normally you let him get a half and 50, and you might as well just forget it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the track was helping the speed horses by any means, especially later on in the card, right? And so again, I think that even makes Wow's performance that much better. And I mean, who knows how good Tom Silly is? I mean, she's a star.
Agreed. And you know, it's funny that you bring up, we'll talk about a bias, but on the grass, when we talk about First Premio, because that turf course was quite a spectacle throughout the day, and it made for some interesting
First Premio
decisions.
A lot of people wouldn't have probably seen it, but he going into the first turn, somebody ran up on him, he got cut up pretty badly. We had to put stitches in him and his hind leg, and he got cut up pretty good.
Well, and got time to come back for the season ender on Derby Day on the, you know, the
I think we're going to stick to. I think he may be a more of a miler.
Miler,
too,
okay.
So. But right. Anyway,
look elsewhere. Well, now it's just a question of keeping War of Will healthy, happy, and the Louisiana Derby next month, and off we go. Very satisfying. You know, you mentioned Gary Barber, and we should talk about some of the origins with the horse again. And Gary, nice to see Gary's name alone. He's got the baby spotlight on him and the pink and black jacket.
Well, I mean, what can I say about Gary Barber? I mean, you won't find a better man or more enthusiastic guy. He's having a, you know, it's interesting, and I don't want to sound like sour grapes here, but I am a little bit, and that is the Pegasus deal is wonderful, but it kind of blows everything out of proportion. You put up $500,000 and you win $250,000, and that goes to your earnings. And so still the owner standings is a bit out of whack right now, but I mean, I think Gary Barber's already won 7 or 8 stakes this year on his own. I mean, he's having a tremendous year, and if it wasn't like I said, some of the craziness from the Pegasus, he'd probably be right up there on top. I think you'd have a tough time finding the owner that's having a better year right now than Gary Barber, and it's well deserved.
Absolutely, second to none on that front. Well, let's hit. You mentioned Flame Away, and you go forward to the Fairgrounds handicap.
I'm sorry, I lost you there for a second.
On Flame Away, as we kind of round out the day, you're just going to stay the course. Look for the.
He is. I don't know. I thought his race was good enough that he deserves another try on the dirt. A lot of people don't realize, but his last start over at Parks, we don't know how he did it, but he cracked a rib. And a couple of days after the race, it was the first his side swelled up, and we x-rayed and did ultrasounds, and yeah, he had a little crack in his rib.
So, how about that?
Gave him some time off, and I thought it was a nice first race back. I think he got a 93 buy or something like that, which was I think that ties it for his top number, and I'm sure there's some room there for improvement.
No doubt. And I mentioned just before with both, actually with Amos and with Brett Calhoun. Of course, Calhoun wins that 7th race. But Awesome Walk and Roll, a little bit of a curious journey. I thought he was finished on the turn, and all of a sudden he came back again.
Well, that's him. He's run a couple times, but he doesn't have a clue. He is just, right now, he's still a lost ball in high weeds. And I think once that horse gets his act together, he's going to be all right. And he was exhausted after the race. So I was proud of him. He's a Canadian bred, so you know where I'm thinking there.
I love it. Well, Awesome
Starts
Walk
with Queen and ends with Plate.
I love it. Mark, also, you did break a maiden, too, though, among the days. That filly, Weeby, was okay.
Yeah, which is nice. Weeby, I only recently found out, was named after Mr. Masterson's mother, so that was nice. There's a filly that's a big, big, beautiful filly. I think she's a lot better than anybody's seen yet. We just have to kind of figure out, she's still a little bit of a puzzle to us. We didn't think she would get beat the first time, but she's so big and strong that she was exhausted after her first start. This was a much better start, but unless we're wrong, she's a little, you haven't seen the best of her yet.
Nice. Distorted Humor, Weeby, and Florence Giroux aboard the winning favorite. Let's take the opportunity, Mark, to talk about a couple of things that are coming up, including this afternoon at Oaklawn. Super Tappet comes back, the Razorback, and Olympic Runner in the Southwest. Let's start with the 3-year-olds, and we got to talk about somebody else too. With you again, even though we already discussed it 2 weeks ago, but Olympic Runner for Gary Barber, and off the maiden win, that was an off the turf race. So it's a Geoponte. It feels like you're just kind of taking a shot.
Yeah, you got that right. I figured, he trains like he's pretty good, and he's trained all right on the dirt. So you know what, we could have went back in a one other than and ran for 45,000. or take a shot and run for $500,000. We figured we'd go for the $500,000. Wish we'd gotten a little better post with this horse. As I said before, when you have a horse like Wow, you can overcome a lot. We're not going to put him in this category right now, so it would have been better to have a little better post. But we're, you know what, we're just feeling our way. We know that we feel that he's a pretty good turf horse. He should have won his first start. He just had a horrid trip first time out. We think he's probably going to end up being better on the grass, but I think the Southwest is a solid field. I don't think there's any standouts there. So if he can run the race back that he ran in the mud at Gulfstream, I think it puts him in the mix.
You know, and I'm looking at on the pace front, obviously Jinx Fires and Sean Bridgeman are going to go to, you know, right from the bell, from the inside, and Gray Attempt will, you know, will just make them chase again. But after that, I don't know. I suppose, I don't know, maybe Jersey Agenda, probably.
I'm hoping that, you know, we can get over, maybe be in the second flight and see, you know, David, I mean, talk about a guy that's riding well. David Cohen is doing a tremendous job
yeah.
at Hot Springs. And
yeah, he is.
I feel very confident. I think he's ridden maybe 10 horses for me, and he's never given me a bad ride. So I feel like we're lucky to have him. And, you know, he's going to have to work out a trip. We're going to have some luck.
Well, he could end up, you know, whatever, three wide probably, but sitting in a nice stalking position, depending on who else goes. Maybe Sueno for Keith DeSormo might have some speed to get positioning, but most of the others, Six Shooter puts on blinkers for Holtis, but even with blinkers, it doesn't feel like he's got the speed. Although Stewie Elliott, certainly a good gate rider for to get him out of there. Boldore too, I suppose. Boldore is going to want to go. Well, all right.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of speed, but we thought there was a fair amount of speed in the mine shaft, and
it didn't work out.
Flame Away was
exactly
on the lead in 50, so you never can tell.
No,
I sure don't see Sean sitting still from the inside, though. He's definitely going to go, and then the rest remains to be seen.
Well, you mentioned Cohen, and you're 2-for-2 with him, and Super Tappet is also going to use his services. And talk about 9-2 in here for Mrs. Weber, and coming off the Sunshine Millions Classic win, where he was, you know, very good and confidently handled. Super Tappet today in the Razorback.
Yeah, you know, Super Tappet's the horse that has a ton of ability. It's taken us kind of, I don't know if it's taken us a long time to figure him out. I think it's taken him a long time to become a racehorse. He's got a lot of quirks, but it's going to be interesting. There's going to be some serious speed come down from the outside, hopefully, and he doesn't do it very often, but hopefully he breaks well. If we can get through the first turn without him trying to run over the top of anybody or run over anybody, and get him to settle a little bit, he'll run really well, but he will make good riders look bad. He's an extremely difficult horse to ride. David's already been watching his past races. And like I said, he's not, he tried to get himself beat in the Sunshine Million, acting kind of crazy. But his best race is actually probably a mile, where he has time to have time to kind of put him where you want with a long backside stretch. But there's no miles right now, and this race is a big race, and we felt like he deserved a shot. So, you know, your guess is good as mine is how he'll last today.
Well, and of course, you know, looking ahead to April after this, you know, with the Razorback, you know, you work your way toward the Oaklawn Handicap, and so it's an audition on that front as well. And he's not.
Yeah, that's why you were there. I actually Steve, have sent some heavy heads there. Wonder Gadot's there. I sent her. She just had a nice breeze. I sent Shamrock Rose is out there. She's there for the Azuri. So we're going to send Chocolate Kisses up to run in the honeybee with Power Gal. And so, yeah, we haven't done much there yet. We haven't ran very many horses, but it's always been, we're going to try to go in. There's some serious money later on, and we're trying to get ready for it.
No, absolutely, and that's the beauty of being positioned in South Florida and here, and being able to go where you need to go. And speaking of that, beyond the stakes today, let's touch on a couple of maidens that we're going to see under the Cassie outfit, and the Cairo Prince, first time starter, and I can tell you, we just had a pretty quick downpour, and I don't know,
and
off
I
the turf
tell you
now.
That we
we're
got
off. Yeah, off the turf. All
right. I took that call right prior to you calling me, David. I was talking with David, and we decided that was not where we wanted to make our first start on that type of track. We think that horse has some talent. We like him. We're just trying to find him a spot to go, but we think he could be all right. We think he has some talent.
Well, in the name, for those that want to keep track of a re-entry, all the way, which is one word, all the way to Cairo, and he's out of an out of place mare, and given Cairo Prince first crop and all that, he was certainly bought like a good yearling, paid $265.
Yeah, he's extremely beautiful horse. He's a nice horse, and like I said to you, he's shown some talent. We tried
nice.
To run him on Saturday, but he didn't get in. We tried to run him in straight 3-year-olds. They wrote this race back, and we like to run them, so. I wanted to kind of, the quicker you get them started, the quicker you can find out what you have, and the quicker you can move on and strategize with them. So, but we're going to have to wait a little longer for him.
Well, then let's shift gears, and I'm going to, I haven't checked the Florida weather, but at Gulfstream today in the nightcap, a pair for Mrs. Weber. And let's start with Super Jaguar making a third start and has come so close, beaten a head and a less than a length in the two previous. But this will be a second time going two turns, a quality road out of Giant Cat's Eye, who I remember for Charlotte. And this colt, I'm sure there's some expectations.
He's a nice horse. He's another one that's a bit of a slow learner. I think that each race should get a little better. But he looks like he's in a good spot. You probably got to beat Todd's horse, and he may have to try to beat his entry mate.
Well, let's talk about the entry mate as well, and this one is Super Stonehedge and Spitestown out of, 1.3 carats, who was
he's had a few little issues with his air. We feel like they're good now, and we have him, we have him where we want him. I would be disappointed if he didn't run well.
Mile on the grass, and that's interesting, in fact, on the turf side, Mark, because Spitestown out of the dirt runner in terms of 1.3,
we had thought about just waiting and running him on the dirt, but this was a Florida bred race, and I like grass races because it gives them a good first experience, so we just decided to go there.
Very good. Well, a hatful of babies yet to run. What about Tappity Tappity on Wednesday?
Yeah, she's all right too. She's she's a filly. She ran well first time we ran her. She got down to Florida and got a little sick. She's better now, and I would expect her to run well too.
Well, and she's important. This, of course, daughter of Mai Typhoon, and there really may not be a more important female family on the planet. Going back to Urban Sea, and we'll watch for everything. I could go on. You got all kinds of nice allowance runners coming up as well, but we like to at least get a snapshot of they're not babies anymore. They're 3-year-olds, but the young horses that still are looking for diplomas. Meanwhile, Mark, a very satisfying performance. War of Will, the wow horse, if there ever was one, and on to the Louisiana Derby, and Flame Away gets his 4-year-old season started, and much, much more. As always, very appreciative of the visit.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Always great. Mark Cassie, everybody, and a big weekend. Davy Carroll, of course, good to see Davy here. And Declan, his son, who's doing great. And Deck had a good second, actually, on Saturday. I think he only had 2 mounts. One of the other wins I want to mention from Saturday, Pocket Aces got a... the $160 moon launch, and Steve Margolis, another one of our absolute favorites, and Margolis with a perfect storm situation for the first-time starter, down inside with hard-riding, hustling Miguel Mena. How much I love Mena, and Miguel had a big day, really. I mean, even without having stakes, stakes success, but earlier he had won on Get the Prize, who we talked about, the Al Stahl for Spendthrift and Town and Country. But this was a win, for much smaller owner types, the partners. One of our partners, Dave Brown, is in this horse, and he was beside himself, moon launch, on the inside part of the turf course, which became obvious when the rails came down. And, Frank McGooey, and so did Marcus, really drove that point home that it felt like the inner paths were going to be a bit of a conveyor belt. And so absolutely what Margolis told Mena, gun and get the lead and see if you can't take him all the way around. And just when it looked like he was going to be inhaled and got headed, Mena, who can really finish, Miguel Mena is strong. And he finished beautifully, and Moonlaunch wins at 78-1. Unbelievable. I wanted to make sure to congratulate them. We talked about Carrick, but it was Compass Zone for Brad Cox. And speaking of which, let's circle back around to Harlan Punch, who at first they were really concerned that there was a suspensory problem. And that it might be a little touch and go when he got vanned off, but then it turned out to be soft tissue. And so knock on wood, the career is virtually decided that it's over, but he'll be, with some rest, he'll be okay to do something else or to not do something else, to kick up his hooves and relax as a very nice, having had a very nice career, Harlan Punch. So glad that there were a number of people we saw as well that were on hand that had come for his opportunity, and felt terrible that it's always. There's no worse scenario, no worse feeling when it comes to that, and that that was the big partnership that included Marshall Graham's 10 Strike partners and Front Row Racing, Kevin McReynolds and Bob Miller. So looks like Harlan Punch ends his career with a nice stakes placement, and luckily, he's okay. We brought up Oaklawn, and as we go to the break, I should mention, I don't want you to miss, and we talked about Friday, there'll be the carryover for the Stronach 5. The cross-country pick 5 Aqueduct and Oaklawn, and what a nice combination it is. The 7th at Aqueduct, the allowance race, and then you go over to the Bayakoa at Oaklawn, back to New York for the Holly Hughes, the State Bred Stake here on President's Day, and then the last two legs, the Razorback in the Southwest. So terrific low takeout cross-country pick five today, Aqueduct and Oaklawn. It's a fun day of racing, although the weather here went south big time. We're going to continue to go south. We're going to head to Mobile later, and then Savannah and Charleston. Had a great time here, though. Let's step away, and we'll give you the last hour at the races at Fairgrounds.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.